Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I am continuing to teach on a series that I've entitled Observing All Things, and this is what Jesus told us to do, is to teach people to observe all things that He's commanded us. And I've made a criticism of the church that we have basically not been preaching the whole counsel of God. We haven't been taking a stand on moral issues, on things like evolution versus creationism. Most ministers just stray away from this because the people who are claiming evolution claim to have the high ground, that they are intellectuals, they know all of these things, it's scientific, and yet it violates the Word of God. So one of the things that I've been doing is bringing in some of these experts to talk about things that show that evolution is not fact, it is not proven. You will hear things like that, but it's not true. And one of the things that I'd like to share with you today is I did an interview with Dr. Carl Baugh a couple of years ago, and he has a museum entitled the Creation Evidence Museum in Glen Rose, Texas. And the reason he located it in Glen Rose, Texas is because he was an evolutionist and he believed in evolution, and yet he believed in God at the same time. And he just somehow or another thought that there was a disconnect, and he was going by scientific data and discounting what the Bible says, the obvious truth of a six-day creation, and he just was going with, quote-unquote science. And then he led I don't know what the proper term for it is, but a dig, I guess, or some kind of an expedition where he was a teacher and he took his pupils and they went to Glen Rose, Texas, and as they excavated, they actually found dinosaur prints in the rock along with human footprints. I mean, where a human footprint had been stepped over by a dinosaur. And when he saw this, it just blew his mind and it sent him back to the drawing board. And after he got through studying, he came to the conclusion that the evolutionary model is wrong. And there's a quote in here, I won't try and mention the name of the person, but one of the most famous evolutionists in a debate said that if you could ever put man and dinosaurs together at the same time, it would completely disprove evolution. Well, that's been done. And I want to show you this interview that I did with Dr. Baugh. Now, this is a lengthy interview, and this is just a portion of it that you'll be seeing today, but it will actually show you a human footprint and a dinosaur footprint right together. They stepped on top of each other. And there are multiple of these footprints in Glen Rose, Texas, but it's not limited to Glen Rose, Texas. They've also been found in other places. So I think that this will really bless you. And I tell you, the reason I'm doing this, the Scripture to me is sufficient proof for creationism versus evolution. But for those of you who don't believe in the Bible alone, or it's not the sole authority, and you think that there's these facts that prove that creationism is wrong and evolution is right, well then here is some of those facts that will prove evolution wrong. If you would open up your heart and listen to this. So I encourage you to watch this. At the end of our program, we're going to give you some information about how you can get these materials, and I encourage you to please call or write and get these materials today.
I came to Glen Rose because of the human and dinosaur controversy. Mm-hmm. Built the museum because if man and dinosaur did live contemporaneously, the theory of evolution is bankrupt. This defines and illustrates creation, scientific creation, as well as biblical creation. This was discovered in the spring of 2000. We excavated 7 human footprints in that same vicinity. Here's the human footprint with a great toe, second, third, fourth, little toe. There's been compression in the human footprint because then the Acrocanthosaurus dinosaur stepped on and intruded into the human footprint, pushing some of the consolidated mud up into the human footprint. We ran this through spiral CAT scan at 2 professional facilities. The compression density is under the human footprint, under the compressed material, under and around the dinosaur footprint. That is genuine. Here we have man and dinosaur not only living at the same time, but interacting in this footprint. I want to know what the real facts were. That's the reason I established the museum. That's the reason I came to Glen Rose.
Well, let me go back to one of the points that you made. And I don't know if you can say this concisely or not, but the Noah's flood is really the explanation for so much of the stuff that the evolutionists say about dinosaurs.
Yes.
Because they believe that this happened millions and millions and millions of years ago. But you are saying that with the pre-flood conditions,
yes,
that animals, plants, like I saw in a previous video of yours, that you filtered the light and let only that one wavelength through and put a higher pressure, and plants would grow astronomically big.
Yes, that's been demonstrated in the secular literature.
Matter of fact, you've got a footprint right over here I'm looking at. That tell us about this footprint.
Oh, yes. Well, everything was larger in the past. In the pre-flood world, I wanted to know why dinosaurs got so big. I wanted to know why Lepidodendron, which is a lycopsid club moss that today gets 16...
Now, would you say that again?
Oh, okay.
What was that? You're talking about a plant or animal?
A plant, Lepidodendron, the fossil Lepidodendron in the fossil record...
Are you speaking English?
Yes.
Okay.
...is a lycopsid club moss. We grow them today, but they get 16, 18 inches in height. But in the fossil record, they got up to 120 feet tall.
Wow.
How could things get so big? Everything was larger in the past. There are remnants.
Well, the Bible even verifies this, talking about the giants.
The giants on the earth before the flood.
And, of course, Goliath, there's difference of opinion, but some people believe he's at least 9'9", on up to 12, 13 foot tall. That's in the Bible.
Let me tell you a story. We have a footprint. Now to the controversy at Glen Rose. That's what brought me here.
Mm-hmm.
I had heard and did not believe that there were human footprints with dinosaur footprints. I still held to long age. So I came and directed that excavation. And my mentor said, all you have to do is excavate one original dinosaur footprint. Well, I assimilated a team. I did excavate that dinosaur footprint. But the team said, let's keep going. So we did. Over the course of 4 days, we had excavated, at that point, 19 dinosaur footprints.
And you just found these in the rock fossil layer along the...
The Biloxi River.
Biloxi River.
Well, I knew where to start.
Glen Rose is where? Tell everybody where.
Glen Rose is southwest of the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex, about an hour and a half southwest. And dinosaur footprints have been known, and there was a report that human footprints were among them, but I didn't believe it. Because, according to evolution, the last dinosaur died out 64 million years ago, and the first human didn't appear even in primitive form until 2.5 million years ago.
Oh, really? So and that's a variation of 60-plus million 60 years?
60-plus million years. And sophisticated man didn't appear until a few tens of thousands of years ago, according to evolution. And I held to that, even though I held to it in a creation sense, a progressive creation sense. But I was wrong.
Like a theological evolution, that God caused it to happen over long periods of time.
Theistic evolution, that God caused it, but He used evolution. But then there was another form of it that I had accepted at that point in time, and that was progressive creation. That God, and some people still hold to this, that God created each life form, but He did it over vast periods of time. Created a life form, He let that settle in, and later He introduced another life form, let that settle in. And finally, He said, I've got this just right. So He created man. And I held to that. But as we peeled back these layers of rock, and I delicately excavated through the clay, there was a human footprint, 17 and a half inches from a dinosaur footprint. And that blew my mind.
Now, you discovered this, or was
yes.
it all, had it already
oh, no.
been?
I discovered it.
You unearthed it.
Oh, yes. And took the team and I They did most of the work, and I got the credit.
You were leading the...
Oh, yes, and directing it. And they were very happy to be a part of it. They peeled back the limestone, and then I delicately excavated through the clay to the next layer beneath. And then I continued the excavation, and there were four of these prints. And I called the press, and I expected them to come down in a few days. They flew down by helicopter. The next morning, I went to the airport to fly out of town, and the front page of the newspaper, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, said, "Track Step on Evolution," front page, and they reported
now
this.
What was the date of this?
That was early April, late March 1982. So I had to accept it, but I didn't sleep for 4 days and nights because it completely skewed my paradigm. It blew my mindset. Even though I was a creationist, I still held to the long ages. Mm-hmm. So we're back to the biblical record. And there were giants in the earth before the flood. We have a footprint from the Luders Formation. That's out in West Texas, north of Abilene. That's the Permian Basin.
Mm-hmm. I got relatives live out there.
All right. And according to evolution, that hard sandstone of the Permian Basin is about 230 million years old. Well, now, earlier I said on your program that according to evolution, man didn't appear until 2.5 million years ago, even in primitive form, and in sophisticated form, he didn't appear until a few tens of thousands of years ago, according to evolution. A footprint, in fact, a series of footprints, we have one of them. A footprint was found in that Permian rock. We took that to laboratories, two separate laboratories, and ran spiral CAT scan analysis, reading through the rock to determine if the print is genuine. You see, back during the Depression, at about the time I was born, a man named George Adams verified the human footprints. They had been found by Charlie Moss in 1918 when he returned from World War I.
Now this is out in West Texas, Permian Basin?
No, back to Glenrose. So putting these two stories together.
Okay, gotcha.
In Glenrose, the dinosaur footprints had been found, and then the human footprints had been found by Charlie Moss.
Now that was prior to your excavation, so had you heard of this?
I had heard of it, but didn't believe it.
You didn't believe it?
I discounted
it. Because it didn't fit your evolutionary model.
No, it didn't. So a man named George Adams learned that he could cut human and dinosaur footprints out of the river and sell them for $200 during the Depression. That was a lot of money.
Yeah.
Still is a lot of money. So he found another way to do it. He was good at what he did. Under a shade tree, he carved about half a dozen dinosaur footprints and two or three human footprints and sold them. And they were pretty good. But when a genuine dinosaur or human footprint is discovered, if you take that into the laboratory, the compression density made when that creature, man or dinosaur, stepped in the mud, the compression density creates a factor that it is, the lines are more dense, mm-hmm. and it shows in the rock, they're compressed. Right. Not only under the print, but as the foot moves beside and ahead of the print. So we took one of his carved prints to the laboratory, no compression whatsoever. But everything I'm going to show you with the footprints here, we've taken to the laboratory. Every one of these footprints has compression density under and to the side. They're genuine. We have a footprint from the Permian Basin that is 17 inches long. And when we first got it, I said, I'm going to take this to the laboratory, but it's not going to show any compression because I don't believe it's genuine. Mm-hmm. We took it to the laboratory, two of them. It is absolutely genuine. The compression is there. And isn't that too big? Well, there were giants in the earth, the Nephilim, mm-hmm. but then I remembered. Back in about 1987, I was listening to CBS, National News. They said in Mozambique, the missionaries reported that a girl came out of the bush to get her shots. She's 13 years old, 10 feet 4 inches tall.
Wow.
Now you said Goliath was about 9.5. I think you're right. 6 cubits in a span.
Mm-hmm.
But here's this girl, 13 years old, 10 feet 4 inches tall. Her foot would be longer than 17 inches.
You know, I was at a boxing match in Fort Worth when I was 18 years old, and there was a man down close to the ring who was bald-headed, and it looked like he was standing up the whole time. And I wondered, why is this guy standing? And then he stood up. He'd been sitting down.
Oh, my.
And he was a giant. And I ran down and stood next to him, and he was called the Corn King Giant. I don't know if you ever heard of him here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
I didn't.
But there was a Corn King, some product, and he promoted their product. And I stood next to him, and my eyes came to his belt buckle.
Oh,
he
my.
Was 9 foot, 9 inches tall.
Nine.
I stood next to that man. So I know that those things can happen. And I'm looking at this footprint right here. And even though most people would say that that couldn't be true, you've had that scan on it.
Oh, yes.
And the compression is there. That is an accurate footprint. And let me just go back to one thing that we said at the very beginning of this, that if man and dinosaurs were supposed to be separated by millions, over 61
over 60,
or 2
million, 64 million years.
If they were supposed to be separate, what does that do to evolution if you can put a human footprint with a dinosaur footprint?
I'm glad you asked that. Dr. Ernst Mayr, considered the world's leading evolutionary biologist, Dr. Ernst Mayr of Harvard, said in a debate with Dr. Duane Gish, a leading creation scholar, member of a Nobel laureate team. Dr. Ernst Mayr laughed in the debate, and he said to Dr. Gish, the creationist, if your friends along the Paluxy can actually, Paluxy River, Glenrose,
right.
Texas.
That's where we are.
That's the reason this museum, that's the reason I selected Glenrose. The Dallas Times Herald a few years ago wrote a front page article stating, Glenrose is the scientific battleground of the nation. Meaning that if we can literally prove that man and dinosaur lived at the same time, evolution is destroyed. So Dr. Ernst Mayr said in that debate, public debate, if your friends along the Biloxi River, Glenrose, can actually prove that man and dinosaur lived contemporaneously, he said, Dr. Gish, that would devastate our entire theory of evolution. We would have to start all over again.
Amen.
And he admitted that. And it does.
On today's program, Andrew interviewed Dr. Carl Baugh. For more information about Dr. Baugh and the Creation Evidence Museum, go to creationevidence.org.
In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God spoke, and all creation came into being. He created everything by words. And God is still speaking today. On March 23rd, 1968, God spoke to an 18-year-old boy named Andrew Womack, turning him away from a self-righteous life and calling him to minister the good news of God's love and grace to the world. His calling led him through the Vietnam War. It led him to serve 3 small churches as pastor before stepping out in 1976 to begin a teaching ministry on radio. In 1993, God spoke to Andrew again about starting Caris Bible College. He obeyed, and the school graduated its first class in 1996. In 1998, God spoke about expanding the teaching ministry from radio to television. In the year 2000, Andrew began broadcasting daily television programs. His network covered just 3% of the American audience. That same year, God TV in Europe was added, giving Andrew satellite distribution to viewers on several continents. On January 31st, 2002, God spoke about not limiting his provision by small thinking. Andrew accepted the challenge and Karis Bible College expanded until today, we see a growing list of 40 extension campuses around the world. At the same time, the television audience grew explosively. Today, Gospel Truth is seen on 11 television networks and 289 individual stations worldwide, giving 3.2 billion people the ability to experience Andrew's teaching daily. Meanwhile, the growth of the Karis Bible College student body in Colorado Springs led Andrew to seek God for the next step. God spoke and provided a 157-acre campus in Woodland Park. Phase one of the school expansion is now complete, and phase two is beginning in a $53 million project. Building a sanctuary where young and old alike can learn to hear the voice of God for themselves. In the beginning, God spoke, and He is still speaking to those with ears to hear today. Andrew Womack Ministries and Karis Bible College, changing lives and changing the world since March 23, 1968.
Throughout his teaching, Observing All Things, Andrew mentions many statistics and scriptures with regard to homosexuality, abortion, and creation versus evolution. These references have been compiled in the Observing All Things booklet. If you'd like a free copy of this valuable resource, go to awmi.net, click on Today's TV Offer, and request it today. You can also receive a free copy of this booklet when you order the Observing All Things teaching series on either CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The third audio teaching in today's series is titled Applying Discipleship to Creation, Part 3. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Lessons from David for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I'm at the sanctuary in Woodland Park, and behind me you see our very first building that we built here on this new Karis Bible College campus. This is a facility I call the barn because of all of the open beams in there. And we moved into this January the 6th, 2014, and in May we had our very first graduation in here, and it was awesome. But did you know we only had standing room? I mean, we have nearly filled this thing out. God is just expanding the ministry of Karis Bible College. And so it's time to get started on our second building. Right here where I'm standing, this marker is the northeast corner of our second building. This second building will go from here all the way over to the barn that you see behind me. And it goes south this way down to where that light pole is towards Pike's Peak. If you go back west, it goes right along where all of these trailers are.
And it's going to be a 150,000 square foot building, twice the size of this one. And it will allow this Bible college to grow to a minimum of 3,000 students, possibly 4,000 or more with night school. And so we are beginning construction in August of 2014. And I just wanted to come to you and give you an opportunity to be a part of this. Did you know our first building was paid for debt-free by approximately 26,000 people who contributed and made that possible? And man, I am so grateful to all of you who became a part of this. It's already producing results. People's lives are being changed. But you know, when you consider the potential, we have 3.2 billion people who could watch this program every day worldwide. And if even only 1 out of 1,000 actually watched it and enjoyed this program and were receiving ministry, that would still be over 3 million people. And instead of just 26,000 people helping us with this second one, I was thinking about, Lord, how do I get these other people who I know are receiving and being blessed to be a part of it? And I came up with this idea of using just a text message. And we have a number on your screen, 80888. And if you text the word CHARIS, C-H-A-R-I-S, to that number, it's an automatic $10 contribution. It'll be put on your phone bill. You'll get a text back saying, do you want to do this? And you confirm by texting yes back to them. And that's it. There's no mailing list. We don't capture your names. But it's just a simple, easy way to make a $10 contribution. And you know, if all of you who've been blessed and are behind what we're doing, changing the lives of people with the true gospel, would do this, it's a simple, easy way to participate. And I would like to encourage you to pray about that and do that. Of course, we also have our phone number on the screen where you can call and talk to a person. You can make a contribution if you care to do that. We have our web address there where you could participate. But I would really like to ask those of you who've already received and are really behind us impacting the world through CHARIS Bible College to become a part of this. And so we have those numbers on your screen. I encourage you to do that and help us change lives and in return change the world.
Want to find out what's going on behind the scenes at Andrew Womack Ministries and CHARIS Bible College? Check out the inside story. Simply log on to awmi.net. Look to the upper right-hand corner of the homepage and click on the inside story.
The ministry of Andrew Womack and CHARIS Bible College provide a place where a worship leader can deepen his relationship with God.
I came to the conclusion this is where I'm supposed to be, and this is the right fit. This is where God's called me to be. So it was right after my second year of CBC that I took the worship pastor position here at CHARIS Christian Center. I think understanding that message and understanding grace, understanding our authority as a believer, has given me just a lot of confidence as a leader to lead, you know, 800 people that come on a Sunday here, and I can boldly lead them to a place, you know, with Christ-centered worship, knowing and understanding what has been done.
At CHARIS Bible College, the Word comes alive. Relationship with God is given the highest place, and lives are transformed forever.